Hilary Fail, what inspired you to be an artist?
I think I sort of, I always knew that I wanted to be an artist. Like, there was never really any other question in my head. Like, I guess it was sort of fundamentally there, and then the question of, like, what I was realistically going to do with my life was sort of, like, the next step. But I've always felt like I wanted to just do art and draw and be a maker of things, and that's sort of always been in me. So I guess that's, if that answers the question.
Yeah. So growing up, you...
Yeah, absolutely. Like, ever since I remember, I was always, like, trying to, like, draw and color and, you know, like, little kid, just in kindergarten, whatever. But I also always remember, like, really being into, like, sewing little things and it just, like, hand sewing weird little things that didn't really look very good as a little kid. But I was always interested in that, like, making something tangible.
In school, were you encouraged to pursue art? Did you do it throughout
your education? Yeah, absolutely. I in kindergarten, I was good at coloring in the lines. So, all along, kind of, I got people saying, like, oh, you should do this, you should do this, you should be an artist. And, you know, I actually had a very difficult time. You know, I said I wanted to be an artist always, but actually believing that I was an artist didn't come until probably 2 years ago, after, in my senior year of school, actually, my senior year of college. And I just, I always knew that I was good at art and I loved doing art and that felt good, but it didn't really seem like I was going to be an artist, like, or it was going to be a reality until the end of college, I guess.
And where did you go to school?
I went to school at Buff State. Good old Buff State. And I was able to get a really good scholarship, and it provided me with a lot of opportunities to travel, which I'm pretty passionate about as well. So that was great. And Buff State is really wonderful in the sense that there's a lot of great resources, and I finally kind of came around and figured that out at the end. And I wish that I had sort of had the drive and the motivation to figure it out in the beginning, but it's really a good place to kind of to grow, and I think I did grow a lot at Buff State.
What were some of the resources that you found most beneficial?
There's just, especially in the art department, in the design department, there's a lot of, like, amazing professors and a lot of international presences, I guess, at Buff State, which I find to be really interesting. And the perspectives, the different perspectives that they all bring to the table are really terrific for just kind of taking a different view of what you're doing. There's a lot of space and a lot of freedom at Buff State, and I kind of floundered with that a little bit in my first 2 years, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And then I went to England and I studied abroad, and I sort of realized what it was to be a focused artist and a focused student, and I came back and it sort of made a world of difference. I was just really into doing it in a way that I hadn't been before.
Was it being uprooted from kind of, you know, what you were familiar with that kind of awakened this?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was being uprooted, but I also think that, like, particularly what I was doing in England was really good, because I was just... the schools there are different in the sense that they're incredibly concentrated, and there's a lot of focus placed on just being in the studio all the time and creating and making, and everybody around is doing that. And so if you're not also doing that to the same extent, it sort of, you know, it makes you feel like you're not up to the same caliber. So there was a lot of, I guess, a lot of motivation to just kind of keep up with everybody. And then, you know, it changed a little bit, and I was like, okay, I gotta keep up with everybody. And then it became like, man, this is great, I'm making so much more work and I feel so much better about it, and, like, I could track the way that I was feeling and the art and how it looked and what I was doing and what I was making, and it just actually felt like it was growing and progressing. And I think I just sort of figured out, like, maybe it took being away from home and being out of this country for a little bit to sort of figure out what I needed to do to really create and to really make art. But I did it, finally. And so I came back, and it was just, like, a world of difference. Like, I could do it by myself after that, and it was great.
And so you came back with renewed purpose.
And yeah, and absolutely. And Yosef was wonderful, and, like, he also came from that sort of European school of art and design, and you know, the drive is similar, the focus on just making and creating and spending time and really figuring out yourself and what you're doing. And so, you know, he was really supportive with that. And
it was Yosef...
Yosef Bayous, the head of the fibers department. So he was my professor for all 4.5 years, or actually for 4 years, but he was great, super great.
So during your time at Buff State, you were constantly involved in the fiber, you concentrated in the fiber arts? Or?
I did. I graduated with a degree in fiber design, and I ended up doing quite a bit of ceramics by the end, too, but incorporating that with fibers, like drilling into the ceramics and then stitching into them. So it was kind of like a multidisciplinary thing going on at the end there, but yeah, fibers all the way. That's what it was.
That's really interesting. So you spoke of Yosef, and I was just wondering, who were some of your other most important influences as you've been growing as an artist? You know, they could be mentors, influential artists that you...
Certainly. Yosef, absolutely. Like, with that sort of, like, what I was talking about earlier, the drive and the motivation and the focus on, like, figuring out what you want to do and then doing it, and just kind of, like, I always, when I'm making stuff, actually, weirdly enough, think back to him saying, you know, do samples and sketches, and, like, I never realized the importance of that, and now, you know, I really do, and I love doing samples and sketches. And it's sort of like a reversal to how I felt about it at the beginning, but he was definitely influential, and he, again, was there throughout the 4 years that I was in the fibers program. And I, as far as other influential artists, there are certainly many of them. Andy Goldsworthy, though, I really love, and you know, it's kind of easy to see where I would get inspiration from him and what he does, but just...
Can you tell us a little bit about what you see and what it inspires you about his art? For those...
Just the simplicity of his work and working with the raw materials in nature and nothing else. Like, there's nothing else there. He's not using glue, he's not using really anything else. I think is really inspiring. It's just such an interesting way to go about creating what you want to create, and I think it's phenomenal and really inspiring. I sort of strive to create something as simple and beautiful, but I think he's kind of nailed that on the head. Other artists, I don't know, there's so many, but I grew up going to the Albright Knox all the time, and my grandmother took me there every time there was an exhibition. My aunt worked there, and so we went quite a bit, and I sort of always had that as a formative kind of thing growing up in my head. And
speaking of talking about you working with needle and thread as you're growing up, and then your different influences, can you tell me a little bit about what you create? What is your art?
So my art is basically... it's taking leaves. I take leaves and I stitch onto them, or cut them, cut windows through them, negative spaces, and then stitch through the negative spaces. And this is something that I sort of picked up, oddly enough. It's like a conglomerate of the parts of my life that I have, you know, had growing up. So the stitching, obviously, like I studied fiber design, and specifically I studied embroidery when I went to England. So That is something that I became really fascinated with, the really intricate lacy stitching of old-timey sort of embroidery. That is, it's something called insertion stitching, which actually would bind two pieces of fabric together, like if you were making a quilt. And they used to do it, you know, all the time when all that they had was hand stitching, and that's how you make quilts. But it's a traditional method of binding two pieces together. So I started out kind of by binding different materials, and I was going for, like, you know, whatever I could find. And there was, like, a theme, and I think it was, like, laundry or something. So I started by taking the laundry, like, the laundering tags out of clothes. Like, all my clothes, I ripped the tags off of. And anyone who was willing to give me their tags. And, you know, like, they're little tiny things, you know, an inch or two by a quarter inch or a half inch, and square, rectangle, and I sort of, like, fit them together all in a patchwork, so they would make a rectangle, and then went to work just stitching them, and this is tiny, tiny work. So I sort of figured out that I could do it, and, you know, like, it was, when I got done, I was like, wow, I really like this. This is kind of great. And so that's where that started, you know, the stitching and the insertion stitching, and then so then I came back from England and immediately went to work at a summer camp where I sort of grew up going to the summer camp, and it's environmentally themed, I guess. It's an environmental education summer camp to teach kids about the environment and nature and being responsible consumers, and that's something that's really close to my heart. And so I had my needle and thread there when I came back, and, you know, a couple art supplies, but not much. And I thought, okay, so I'm here for the whole summer, and I don't really have, like, a lot to do. I wonder if I could stitch leaves together. And so that's kind of how that started. I grabbed an oak leaf off a tree and cut it into sections, and then went to work stitching those sections together. And then, you know, I realized, like, hey, I can do this. And everybody that I was working with was like, wow, that's really awesome. And so I was like, okay, maybe this is good, you know, maybe I should go somewhere with this. And so I just kind of kept doing it and kept playing with it. And eventually, instead of cutting the leaves up, I just started cutting windows into them and making negative spaces and stitching through there, just kind of simplifying what I was doing and paring it down. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that now.
You don't talk to people every day that create their art through a completely organic matter. I mean, yeah. It's just everything about it. And so what is your creative process?
The process I do completely, like, that's something that's really close to my heart, is sustainability and being kind to the environment and realizing that whatever you're doing, you're taking matter from the biosphere, and, like, that is either going to, you know, it's going to stay in the form that you put it, or it's going to biodegrade, or it's going to, you know, but, like, realizing that whatever you do, all of your actions have a weight to them attached for the environment, kind of was, you know, it's something that I feel really strongly about, and that's kind of why I choose to just make art on something that's completely organic and biodegradable, and you know, the thread is cotton thread, it will biodegrade, and when I can, I try to use natural dyes and that sort of thing. If I'm framing them, I try to go for environmentally. You know, like, it's a whole mindset that I'm really striving to, like, push, I guess. But so I have realized that certain leaves work better than others, for sure. But I, you know, if there's a really striking shape or a really interesting leaf, I'll definitely pick it up, and I'm always, like, picking up stuff and stuffing it into my notebook, and sometimes I get back and it's like, oh, this crumbled and now I can't use it, but I definitely do kind of take things from wherever I go. But certain leaves, as I said, work better than others, so sometimes I'll go out on a dedicated mission to, like, find those leaves, and it's, you know, it's lovely going for a walk and picking some leaves on the way.
And working with such organic material, how do you preserve them?
It depends on, I've been doing something else recently where I'm just cutting into the leaf and cutting really delicate shapes and patterns in, and that is different. But in both cases, they get a clear preservative that's non-toxic and biodegradable, which really helps them to just kind of retain their color. I don't think that it will stop them from biodegrading eventually. You know, I think in 100 years, they're probably not going to be looking so hot. But that's kind of part of it. Is like, this is art, and this is living art, and this is organic art. And you know, I think as it grows, as time goes by, the art is going to have, like, this life of its own, and maybe this slow, slow decay. And if it's preserved, you know, behind glass and in a frame, I don't think it's really going to go anywhere soon. The natural life cycle of a leaf is to lose its color and to start breaking down. So basically, I'm just slowing that process, I guess.
So you create windows in the leaves. And then I've seen images of your art, and I've seen many different intricate designs. And what is the inspiration for the design of the thread? Are you trying to mimic what the leaf would do, or is it something completely different?
You know, sometimes it is sort of like a mimicry of the, you know, the patterns of the veins or the shape of the leaf. But I never actually really know. I start out, and it's sort of like a process that goes around and around, and I add a layer of stitching, and then I go around and add another layer of stitching to that until I get to where I think it's finished. And sometimes it ends up being a very organic, like, you know, just focusing more on the leaf itself. And sometimes it's focused on the stitching and sort of showcasing that. But I never really, like, now I've done so many of them that I sort of have an idea of, like, okay, if I start with this pattern, it's going to end up kind of looking similar to this, or, you know, this way, or, you know, whatever. But I don't necessarily always have a plan. It just, and I don't, you know, because I don't have a plan, I do end up spending a lot more time on them sometimes, going back, taking out stitching, which is tedious. My least favorite part, I think, is probably when I get done with, you know, a layer or two of stitching and then realize it's not what I wanted at all, and it's, you know, have to go back and redo it. But it's okay, you know, it's a process, and that's, I do, you know, even though I say I don't, you know, that's my least favorite part, I do love doing it, you know. It's better than doing the dishes or, you know, whatever. Like, it's what I want to do, so.
Definitely. And you've spoken to this already in some capacity, talking about the summer camp, what you teach there. But is there anything else that you would like the viewer to take away from your art?
Honestly, like, the, you know, I think that the sustainability thing is really, you know, I don't, it's kind of indirect, but that's what I feel like I'm going for, is like being aware of your actions and being aware of what you're taking from the earth, but also, you know, and just trying to create something simple and beautiful, and just kind of, I want the stitching and the leaf to actually sort of balance each other, and the leaves are beautiful in their own sense, and so I think, like, I kind of just go for something that's maybe a mimicry of the truly beautiful and intricate patterns that you find in nature.
That's
what I'm going for.
That's amazing to think about, because your art is kind of like the moment where the human hand touches nature and it creates something beautiful instead of something,
wow,
something toxic.
That was flattering.
Well, that's your work is being embraced by. I've seen a few publications, right?
Yeah, there's been a couple magazines recently, which was exciting. You know, like, that was another, like, oh man, maybe I am an artist moment. All of a sudden, your work's on the cover of a magazine. You're like, okay, this is something.
you're doing something right.
Yeah.
So at this camp, you took what you've learned with embroidery and then your natural surroundings. And you're making these beautiful embroidered leaves. Are there what do you kind of foresee in the future? Are there other kind of materials that inspire you? Like, maybe I want to start messing with this.
Yeah, well, I think that, like, to go to the next level, really, I have thought about this a lot, and I wanted to actually take living plants and figure out which plants would work best for this, but embroider directly onto living plants and see how they take the embroidery and potentially like a living landscape as well. I have a residency coming up this week, and I want to, the point of that is going to be it's in the Catskills, to like go out and find sort of natural canvases, like natural spaces that would be a good frame for the work, and just kind of create them in the forest and of course photograph them or whatever. But the point being that they will exist for the time that they exist, and then they will eventually biodegrade and fall apart, and that's okay. But that's going to be sort of, I just want to see if I can do it, and if it comes out well, and, you know, sort of, I don't always have any clue if it's going to work out or not, so I really want to try that. But other materials, I'm always kind of thinking about what I can do other than fabric and other than leaves.
So what different kinds of things have you done personally to advance your career in the arts? You said that it was only 2 years ago that you said, I'm an artist. So
I feel like I've been lucky and sort of been put in this scenario where I have, you know, gained a small sort of bubble of people that know me and know what I'm doing, and that has really opened a lot of doors, for this program, let's say, and a lot of things through Buff State. That's really been a really, really wonderful thing for me. But I think just taking every opportunity and sort of not waiting for opportunity to knock on your door is really important. And I, you know, you get discouraged and you get kind of like, oh, there's nothing, I'm not good enough, or I didn't get into the show or whatever. And I think just like trying to keep going and say, well, whatever, it doesn't matter, I'm going to keep doing this anyway and it'll work out sometime. And I'm sure that's what everybody says, but I just feel like starting out now, it's important to just, no matter what happens or what people ask you to do, it's kind of like, as long as it's you and you're making your art and you're doing what you want to do, say yes. You know, like, every opportunity is helpful. So.
And that's maybe advice that you would give to a student that's...
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would say, like, as far as giving advice to someone goes, like, absolutely do not wait for opportunity to come to you. Like, you need to get out there and look for it and talk to people. Like, that's so important. And something that I didn't necessarily, like, going into school, I don't think I really realized, but, like, it's all about the people that you know, and art is people, you know, like, people love art. If you're not making art for yourself and for others, then what are you really making it for? You know, it's about people and the people who love it and you loving it, and I think that's incredibly important. And like, realizing what an amazing inspiration people are. It's great for me to be able to go out and work in the woods and do it by myself, but I can't always do that. You know, I need to be around people and to kind of bounce ideas around and get, you know, have some sort of positive feedback like that. I can't do it without that. I think you just get way too discouraged. Interaction with people is a huge part of it, absolutely. And I think that is really having, you know, making something and then feeling like, I love this and other people love it too. And that's so great. I can't even tell you how great that feels. And so that sort of is a huge thing for me, but I would say, you know, going to museums, seeing other people's art, seeing what other people are doing, hanging out in cafes, like, just all those stereotypical artist things, but it really is true. It's a stereotype for a reason. You know, just kind of hanging out and being with people and realizing what the world was about in some sort of fashion. Not that I know what the world is about, but, you know, kind of coming to some understanding on some level of something is now I sound really philosophical. I don't know. It's really, I moved away from Buffalo, and it's very difficult sometimes. I live in the middle of nowhere now. It's really tricky to kind of get that. You know, I find myself actually using the internet a lot and looking at different design websites and different art websites every single day. Like, it's a habit, and it's kind of like a routine. Like, I get up and I have my coffee and I look through these different blogs or whatever, and then I'll try to, like, go and do something of my own, because I'll feel like, oh, all these people are... And it's not fiber stuff, usually. You know, I'm usually looking at tattoos, or there's... I really love typography websites and different stuff that people are doing, and just a lot of graphic design stuff, illustration. That's kind of, like, close to my heart. I love illustration. I love to illustrate. I love to draw. So there's a lot of that going on. And then... I don't know, I just sort of, like, that's what makes me tick a little bit, and then I go and I do my own thing, and it's, like, completely different from all that, but that sort of gets me motivated and gives me that kick to just kind of go and do it.
So there's kind of, that's the ebb and flow of, like, getting inspiration, but also kind of having time to digest it on your
exactly,
own.
Exactly, yeah.
What are some of the challenges, the real challenges that you've faced?
Real challenges, I would say, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm still in a sort of weird spot where I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this art thing, and I'm trying to make it work, and I'm also substitute teaching and trying to make money to pay the rent. And, like, you know, that's, again, like, such a stereotypical thing to say, but it's tricky, you know? You can only go through, like, I don't know. I haven't figured out the right balance of, like, I can produce art all the time and at a consistent pace and get it somewhere and get it, you know, sell it or give it to people or have people see it or get it into shows. Like, I haven't really figured out what the best way to do that is yet. So I'm, in that sense, I'm a little bit, I guess, struggling, really. Like,
do you think there are ways that the larger community, or, like, what are some of your needs as an artist that the larger community might be able to provide?
That's a tricky question. You know, I think as far as that goes, I think it's really important to have programs like this that are inclusive of emerging artists. And having art galleries and having spaces, you know, obviously, where you can go and get inspiration and kind of go and talk to people and feel like, okay, I can do this, you know, sort of have that. But definitely finding a little niche for yourself and then expanding it is really important. So I think if there are programs like this that sort of assist in that, it's really fantastic.
Finding the seed and nurturing.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Oh, that's...
To go with the theme.
So, as far as the totality of your body of work, what do you think, what themes would you give your body of work?
Well, I think that, I sort of touched on this before, but the stitching is one thing, and that's sort of, you know, very delicate and time-consuming, and I love doing it, but it's like, tedious, and and sort of, like, hypnotic for me in a way. And I do that, and that's one thing. But then in doing that, I realized, like, hey, I can cut these leaves and I can make whatever pictures and whatever windows I want. And so then it sort of turned into, like, almost like paper cutting art on a leaf, which is also really tedious. But I that sort of plays on the, like, graphic-y, illustration-y part of me that wants to come out. And so kind of creating these images and patterns on a leaf is an interesting way to kind of keep with my theme, but also broaden out, I guess, my horizons. And then, you know, the living plants will be a different direction, and I don't know, I guess seeing where it goes from there.
So is there anything else that you'd like to add? Any other comments or
Well, I, you know, that was like a part of the email you wrote me, and I was like, I don't know what else. I don't really think so. I mean, I think it is, it's important to take it, and I know I sort of touched on this too, but I have found it incredibly important to really figure out what you're doing and take advantage of, not like figure out like, okay, this is my life and this is what I'm doing with it, but like if you're in school, realize that like you are in school and you better make the most of it. And I know that like, you know, someone saying that doesn't always mean like that it will click, but that I think if someone had like said that to me, especially like in my first couple years at Buff State, I would have been like, oh yeah, like, but just kind of like that being a reality, like make the most of where you are. If you're, you know, working in a cafe and going to school or whatever, like do that and do it and like do it to the fullest and meet people and make connections. And like, I cannot say enough for that, I guess. On that note, you know, like just whatever you're doing, do it to the fullest. And I'm sort of really, that's kind of like been my mantra, if you will, like just, okay, this is what I'm doing, I'm just going to jump in and do it. And I have found that that really is what keeps me going sometimes. Like, well, I said I was doing this, so I'm doing it. On those days that it doesn't feel like you're going to do anything, it's kind of like, well, I got to do something because I said I was going to do it. And like holding yourself to that is really important for me, at least.